Thanks, Grant, Andrew. Beautiful. Thanks for leading us in worship this morning. Have a seat. Great to see you all. If I haven't met you, my name's Jo, and I'm excited to be sharing the word this morning. Well, if you are like me, I'm sure at some point you've thought along these lines. Hope I can finish work a bit earlier this morning. I mean, this today. Here I am. Hope I can finish work a bit earlier this afternoon. I hope my favourite sports team wins this weekend. If that's me, just insert Australian cricket team. Anyway. I hope I win the holiday in that competition that I entered. I hope my coffee or my juice is just the way I like it today. But if we took 10 minutes right now to just do a survey of everyone here, I'm sure there'd be many deeper hopes that we're each carrying in our hearts this morning. Things like the hope that the circumstances of a family member or a close friend would change for the better, whether that's about their health or their finances or their relationships. The hope that the difficult circumstances that you yourself are facing would change, would improve. The hope that pain and trauma would be alleviated for those around the world who are suffering because of war or terrible injustices or natural disasters like the earthquake in Myanmar and Thailand. And the hope that those that we know who are without hope would know the love and the light and the hope of Jesus. So this week, as we come towards the end of our fabulous Grounded in Love series, we're going to be exploring three small yet incredibly powerful words in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love always hopes. And in this stunning description of what the life of love looks like, especially as the body of Christ, you know, hope gets a Guernsey. Remember when Dave launched this series a couple of months back? If you were here, he actually demonstrated really beautifully, Dave, on the drums, what it sounds like to God and others if we have all the greatest gifts in the world, but we put them to use without love. They sound pretty much like a clanging cymbal, which is what Dave demonstrated. So Paul then beautifully articulates this breakdown of love, which includes hope. So if we're loving well, then we're always, according to this scripture, we're always hoping. But I just want to get kind of right to it this morning. What if our hopes have been dashed? What if we're hit by some circumstance that just really knocks us for a six and we struggle to see how we can have hope for tomorrow, let alone always hope? Isn't there a scripture that says, you know, hope doesn't disappoint? Well, I've been disappointed plenty of times by hoping for things, and I'm sure you have too. So does that mean that we should stop hoping for things and for people in the future? I think this is a really key question that we need to resolve. If we truly believe that as we live a life of love in Jesus, that we can always hope. So for starters, let's just have a quick look at the context of that verse that I just mentioned. You know, hope doesn't disappoint. So what hope doesn't disappoint? If we look at Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens, here it is, our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So this isn't just run-of-the-mill garden variety hope. It's something much greater. It's a hope that sits above our circumstances. So our confident hope of salvation is no ordinary hope. And in fact, it's described in the book of Titus as the blessed hope. So Titus 2, verses 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So this blessed hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. He's our living hope. And in 1 Peter 1, it says, "Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time." And so the amazing news for us as followers of Jesus, who's made his home in us and we're in him, is that we carry this blessed hope in the depths of our being, on the inside of us. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them," and that's the Lord's people, "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." And this is the mystery, right? This is kind of the drum roll. "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So we carry the hope of Christ around with us on the inside of us. We're like beacons of hope. That's a pretty incredible thing. I follow someone on Insta who has actually really helped me reflect on living out the love and hope of Jesus in this life of ours. In 2008, at the age of 26, Catherine Wolf was working as a model. She'd been married a couple of years. She had a really small baby, and then she had a stroke. And 6 years later, she had a brain aneurysm, and she continues to have really serious neurological issues that will probably continue for all of her life. But despite all of this, Catherine and her husband Jay went on to have another child, and they founded an organization called Hope Heals. I encourage you to look it up. It's pretty amazing. They run camps for people living with disability, especially young people. She also hosts a podcast called The Good Hard Story, and she's authored a number of books. And I love what she says. Catherine says, "Jesus showed up in the silence and built his kingdom within my hopelessness." So Jesus, who is the hope of the world, Jesus who is hope, came into the silence that she was experiencing, the pain that she had and the trauma, and built his kingdom within her hopelessness and gave her hope. And she says that the hope of Jesus actually healed her soul. She said it's really amazing, actually, that often she will speak to a group of people, particularly, you know, speak to a group of Christians, and then afterwards they'll be like, "Oh, we just really need to pray for you." And she's like, "But I'm here, like, but God's healed me. I feel healed. My circumstances don't look like what you would think has made me hopeful and healed, but I am. I'm good. So it's really, interesting, isn't it? Sometimes our circumstances might not look like what God is doing on the inside of us. So for her, she's like, "No, the hope of Jesus has healed my soul." I love that. So anyway, I find her really inspirational to follow. And Hebrews 6 says that hope is an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. So when our worlds are shaken, having our anchor firmly in the rock of Jesus steadies our soul, heals our soul. Now, what I love about this beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13 is that we've been journeying through is that, I'm excited about this, hope is one of the big three, right? At the end of this chapter, Paul reminds us that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So faith, hope, and love are inextricably linked. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of things that we cannot see. So hope isn't just here for a little while. It sticks it out. Faith is kind of like hope with legs on. So if Jesus is love, then he's also hope. And hope remains with us and into eternity. And as I was preparing this message, I got to wondering if this remaining was the same remaining that Jesus spoke about in John 15 when he said, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." So I did a little bit of a deep dive, And guess what? It is. It is. It's the same word in the Greek. So the word remain and these three remain, faith, hope, and love, is the same word in the Greek as when Jesus said, remain in me. And the Greek word is meno, which has the same meaning as abide. And it's a verb. Meno is a verb, and it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. And to abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain. So to remain is to stay in expectancy. So when we read that hope remains, it's telling us that it always stays in expectancy. And in expectancy of what? Of the eternal, of our eternal future with Jesus. Which for those of us who have decided to follow him has already begun. We're already living this life of love with Jesus. The Amplified translation of verse 7 says, love hopes all things, remains steadfast during difficult times. And the Passion translation says, love never stops believing the best for others. You know, just as Jesus always believes the best for us. Thank God, right? I'm so grateful for that. You know, there's two people that really sprung to mind for me when I was thinking about hope, and who I really think demonstrate hope beautifully in the Gospels and living out this hope that remains. So according to Jewish tradition, Jesus was presented at the temple when he was 40 days old. And we know that Mary and Joseph weren't wealthy because they brought with them an offering of a pair of doves or pigeons. So that kind of indicated that, you know, they were a humble family. I mean, obviously they had with them in their arms like the saviour of the world, but they were not from a wealthy background. And Luke records this event and two responses in particular to this visit by a humble family to the temple. So from Luke 2, verse 25, it says, at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. In the Message, Eugene Peterson put it that he lived in prayerful expectancy. There's that expectancy. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And then we just jump down a couple of verses to verse 36, and it says, Anna, a prophet, was also in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. Whew, it's pretty full on, right? I mean, my goodness. That is dedication. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So both Simeon and Anna had been waiting with confident expectation. They'd been spending time in the presence of the Lord, praying for this awaited Messiah. You know, and the thing is, this is at a time in history when God's people hadn't heard from him for 400 years. So if we just kind of contextualize that, this was big. Yet Simeon and Anna remained in God's love with this expectancy, this hope that salvation for all humanity was on the way. And what I love, what really kind of struck me, is that their abiding with God, their remaining in his presence, meant that when this awaited Messiah arrived on the scene, they recognized him for who he was. Their love and faith allowed their eyes to be opened to see the source of hope, the true source of hope that had arrived. You know, and as we know, there's plenty of other people recorded in scriptures who were waiting for the Messiah but just didn't recognize him when he came. But these two humble servants did, even though he came in a bit of a slightly different package to what they're expecting. I mean, you know, he was a baby. They were expecting, like, they're living in the Rome under Roman rule. They're expecting some, like, mighty king to arrive out of the clouds, which is probably how he's coming back. But, like, that's what they're expecting. They're expecting someone to be able to come and, like, overthrow, you know, the rulers of the day. And that's kind of why a lot of people didn't recognize Jesus, who was this humble, suffering servant. But Simeon and Anna did. They had been spending time in God's presence. And even when they saw this tiny, defenseless child, they were like, that's him. We recognize him. This blessed hope. So when we're spending time in God's presence and we're walking in step with the Spirit, I think it helps us to recognize that the answer to our hope isn't a destination or an outcome, but it's the person of Jesus himself. So, love always hopes. Tom Wright and Michael Bird wrote, love matters because it is central to it is the central characteristic of the new world, and we get to practice it in advance. How good is that? This is the life of love that we get to participate in. So if love is central to this new humanity that we're part of in Jesus, then one part of our apprenticeship, because that's kind of I love that thought, that we're apprentices to Jesus, is to learn to hope continually. And the key to becoming a people of hope is who we're placing our hope in. You know, you don't have to go looking too far on socials or any other place, really, to find quite a number of people who, you know, are promising to be your hope, usually for a bit of a monthly subscription fee, right? You know how you go down those rabbit holes? Oh, try not to go down them. You see something, you know, that clickbait stuff, and you're like, get fitter in 22 days, or, you know, like, all of your problems are going to be solved if you just click on this. And then you're like, oh, I'll just stick on the story. I'll just see what they say. They're going to tell me the answer. You know they're not going to tell you the answer. They want your money. And you think, oh, no. I had hope in that person, but no. I mean, look, there's plenty of people who bring a great deal of hope into the world. I'm not negating that at all. And I'm going to talk about this, but we each have that opportunity. But the true hope is in Jesus himself. For me, the one true hope, as I say, is Jesus. Psalm 3:3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. When we're confident in Jesus' love for us and we have our hope firmly in him, then his hope can actually overflow from us. We can be agents of hope. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Like, agent of hope. I love it. I have a friend who, she's passed away now, and every time we'd talk about, you know, prayer, or she was an incredible prayer. Like, she really was. You know how there's some people who've just, like, they just get down and dirty with God. They are praying. She prayed for so many people over so many years. She lived till she was 90. And I remember she used to say, any time we'd talk about prayer, she used to go, it's like we're secret agents for the Lord. And I was like, oh, I never forget that. It's incredible. Like, what a privilege. What a privilege to pray for people, but what a privilege to be carriers of hope. It's amazing. We can, you know, hopelessness can sometimes seem a bit the norm, but we have the privilege of being agents and carriers of hope. We can love people in our everyday lives, whether that's in our families, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, from an authentic place of hope in the one who came to give us life. And we might not have all the answers. Well, of course we're not going to have all the answers. But we can walk alongside people, we can pray for them, we can pray with them, and we can speak the light and hope of Jesus into those dark places in their lives, and trusting that he is in control. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When we know that ultimately Jesus is our hope, then it kind of helps us to relax. Just love people. Always hope, but know the hope, it's him. It's not anything to do with us. It means that we can believe the best for others in a really grounded way. You know, we're not pretending that every situation gets neatly tied up in a bow. Well, that's, I would like it to be that way. But, you know, I'm forever learning that that is probably just not possible. This is gritty hope. Hope that walks the hard and dusty paths of life with people, because that's the road that Jesus walks with us. And it is possible, you know, to lose our hope when we put it in the thing or the outcome that we're looking for. But thankfully, you know, true hope is greater than our worst circumstance. Jesus promises to always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And he is hope and love personified. A.W. Tozer, I love this quote. He says, "Hope is a word which has taken on a new and deeper meaning for us because the Savior took it in his mouth. Loving him and obeying him, we really discover that hope is the direction taken by the whole Bible. Hope is the music of the whole Bible, the heartbeat, the pulse, and the atmosphere of the whole Bible." Isn't that amazing? I just feel like I want to read that, like when I wake up in the morning. It's fantastic. So in summary, you know, hope remains, it abides. It's a confident expectation. It believes the best in others. And hope is a person, the person of Jesus. And it's by spending time with him that we'll learn to hope in love. So if you're here this morning and, you know, you feel like you're facing an uncertain future, or you feel like you've kind of lost a bit of hope, I just want to encourage you that Jesus is your hope. If you'd like someone to pray for you at the end this morning, I'll be here, Dave will be here. Or you can ask the person that you came with just to stand with you in prayer this morning. I want to close by speaking a blessing over you, and then I'm going to ask you to take a short time to reflect, and then we're going to do something else. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures from Romans 15:13. So I just want to speak this blessing over you this morning. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I just invite you to just take a couple of moments to reflect on someone that you could pray this blessing over today. It might be more than one person, it might be a group of people, that's okay. I just want to give you a minute just to think of that person or those people. Have somebody or a couple of people in your mind. And now, as people of hope, carriers of hope, agents of hope, I just want to give us all the opportunity. Now, you don't have to. I'm going to read it out. You can join me, or you can kind of just say it quietly under your breath. So no pressure. But and Grant, if you'd like to come up, that'd be fantastic. All right, so let's speak this blessing over the people that we're carrying on our hearts this morning, okay? I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and you know, I just encourage you this week, grab that scripture, put that person's name in it, and actually kind of turn it into a prayer. It's a great thing to do, to actually just grab onto some scripture and form it into a prayer. Write it down, put that person's name in it, and speak that hope over their lives in the name of Jesus. So wonderful. Well, we are, oh gosh, when I walked in this morning, could you smell the bread? The bread was, could you smell the bread, Andrew? It smelled amazing. My goodness. So thanks, Dave, for the sourdough. And there's gluten-free options there as well. But we're going to close by taking communion together. And, you know, just take some time. Maybe just do a bit of a heart check and go, where am I placing my hope? Am I putting it in the hope of an outcome of a particular situation? Am I putting it in a person? Am I trying to put the hope in myself all the time and disappointing myself? Or is my hope firmly in Jesus himself? Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I just want to, it's a great opportunity as we gather around, as we reflect and remember Jesus who laid down his life on our behalf. Jesus who is love, who is hope. And he has shown us this way of love to live our lives. He invites us in, you know, as we come to a close in this series. How wonderful that we get to follow a Savior, a Lord, who was so humble, stepped off his throne, humbled himself, sacrificed, laid down his own life so that we could live, so that we could have this eternal blessed hope as our Lord to follow. And as we say, like, it's this eternal hope, but it's a hope that we have right now because Jesus is in us and we are in him. So let's just be thankful, but also, yeah, just take this time to ask the Lord to maybe draw us in a new way to him, to show who he is as our hope. He's constantly revealing his character in new ways to us, right? So why don't we just ask the Lord to show us, and in your own time, just come and take the bread, take the juice, and we give thanks for Jesus who is our hope. Why don't I just pray? Lord, we thank you that you are our hope. We thank you, Lord, for your way of love. We thank you that faith, hope, and love forever remain because they are you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remain in you as you remain in us, to abide in you. And as we do that, Lord, to enable us to always hope, to love people out of a place of hope because our hope is firmly in you. We give you all glory.